Browns training camp is on, and the preseason is also. You know what that means. Oh, it's going to be that quarterback competition as it takes center stage. The NBA offseason is here, too, so the Cavs could make a big move at any moment. You got to be locked in. You know you do. Don't miss a minute of The Fan with the latest breaking news during your workday or on the go. Stream us at 923thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app.
We're going to hear from the newest Cavalier, Lonzo Ball, coming up in just a second here on Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner is Andy Baskin. Matt Corrale taking your phone calls, 216-474-0092. And Dan Menigan getting ready to let us hear from Lonzo Ball coming up in just a second. Before we get to that, the official Kevin Durant deal was announced. And this turns into the largest trade in NBA history with seven teams involved. How the heck do you put something like that together? Isn't that stunning?
Logistics expert.
How they do these things? I just think it's really wacky. I mean, how do you get seven teams? And I know there are different parts and this blah, 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 blah. How do you get seven teams to all agree to something like this?
Use the trade machine. They go on ESPN and they're like, all right, let's do the trade machine.
So there are seven teams involved.
Save ourselves a lawyer.
The Rockets, Phoenix Suns, Lakers, Golden State, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Minnesota, all part of this deal. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant was the big name, and it's fascinating to me the longer that these guys play, that the big guys in the deal are guys in their mid to late 30s sometimes, even older in certain situations, and you think, man, that's where the league is now. Mm-hmm. 35, 36-year-old guys are the big deal in the trade.
That's a record, too, for the NBA, right? 17
deal. It's the biggest trade, yeah. Biggest
NBA's
trade in NBA history.
Record 17 trade.
So they say. Mm-hmm. Clint Capella also going to the Rockets in that. So I think they picked up a couple of veterans who can really help them. And so that'll be good for them. Suns are involved. They're getting Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks. Lakers are getting a guy. Golden State getting a couple of guys. Minnesota getting two second-round picks and cash and a guy. Atlanta getting a guy. Brooklyn getting a couple of seconds. It's fascinating to me how these things get put together. And that's good. That's done. Let's turn that in. League's going to have to take a week and a half to figure it all out. So that's a good thing. Cavaliers have made some moves this offseason so far. I like the moves. I'll say I like what they've done so far.
So far, so good. Are they a better team than they were 2 weeks ago? I don't know if they're that much better. If Ball's healthy, though, that seems to be an upgrade.
Well, there it is again.
If he's healthy.
I wish you would quit saying that, except for one thing.
It's truthful.
That's exactly right. It's the exact right thing to say. If Lonzo Ball is able to play more than 35 games that he's played in the last 3 years, Cavs made a pretty sweet move. And they traded Isaac Okoro for Lonzo Ball. They've also re-signed Sam Merrill instead of Ty Jerome. So apparently, they felt that Ty Jerome was more replaceable than Sam Merrill. Different skill sets. Sam a shooter, and Ty maybe more of a scorer, and not as good at handling the ball as Lonzo Ball, if he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And then signing Larry Nance Jr. to a vet minimum contract is a no-brainer. I mean, Larry will be coming off the bench for the team, and he'll give them a veteran presence, somewhat big man off the bench. He plays bigger than he is. He's like 6'7", maybe 6'8", but he plays bigger than that, so that's a good thing. Lonzo Ball was on the What an Experience podcast on the 4th of July, and he talked about becoming a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. We have three different comments from him. We'll start with this, and it's what he's looking forward to here in Cleveland.
Just playing, competing for a ring. I mean, I feel like that should be the goal. I feel like that is the goal. So happy to get over there, get started, you know, meet everybody, get familiar with everything, and take it as far as we can.
Okay. Like that?
I think he's optimistic about this. I would be. I mean, again, it goes back to that big H word, health.
Yes, it does. On going from the Chicago Bulls, who most folks don't have on the radar as a contender in the Eastern Conference, to the Cavaliers, who most folks think are the number one contender in the Eastern Conference. Here's Lonzo on that.
I feel like it's just a blessing, bro, to be honest. I mean, everybody keep asking me how I feel about the trade, how you feel about the trade. I'm like, I'm happy to still be playing anywhere, let alone a team that has a real chance to, you know, win a ring.
Who's he sound like? He sounds like somebody.
A mellow version of his father?
I don't know. We'll think about that.
Yeah.
And then finally, just thoughts on coming to Cleveland and being a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Here's Lonzo Ball.
My whole life I've been, you know, playing, I feel like, the right brand of basketball, and that's to win games. So going to a great situation, and I just want to play my role and do what I can to help.
Okay.
He does sound like somebody. I can't.
Yeah.
Can you put your finger out? I can't. Yeah.
Almost sounds like LeBron to me.
A little. That was the first name I thought of, but I wasn't going to say it. So.
Yeah, a little bit. So that's all well and good. I wish we could get all excited about it. If it was Lonzo Ball coming out of UCLA and going to the Lakers and before the major knee reconstruction, you know, he had things transplanted. I'm guessing he didn't get those from a live person, so he got those from, you know, somebody who's no longer with us.
Yeah,
donated to an NBA player.
That's why we talk about Life Bank all the time.
Well, yeah. Dude missed two seasons and then played only 35 games last year. The only thing that's wrong with this, Andy, to me, is this. If the Cavs are banking on Lonzo Ball being healthy, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. If they think Jalen Tyson can do the same types of things, can handle the ball, can initiate the offense about the same height, if they think that he can orchestrate the offense, if Lonzo's not there, okay, then I think they're covered. But if you're banking on Lonzo Ball being your basically third guard, I think that's a big gamble.
Are you hoping that he starts, though, with Darius hurt?
Yes, actually, I am.
You're hoping that he starts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Darius comes back, obviously Darius starts, if he's still here, and I would assume he will be. But I would assume you're going to start Lonzo Ball.
I don't know who else would you start.
Terry Porter? Terry Pluto's written some really good stuff, some great analysis on all this. And the word that he has been getting from folks in sources with the Cavaliers about Craig Porter and work ethic and working harder at things, which I found a little surprising.
I mean, I could have said Proctor, but I just think it's too early to say that. But go
ahead. You can't put that heat on a second-round pick.
No.
If you get lucky there, you get lucky there. That would be really good.
Yeah, you're hoping that he can come off the bench and be in the top 8, 9 in the rotation?
I would think if he's in the rotation, you'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
You know, Jalen Tyson was, keep this in mind, Jalen Tyson was a first-round pick last year and was not in the rotation.
Good point. That's a great point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you're right. So what did Terry say? You were kind of talking about that?
Yeah, the Craig Porter Jr., the Cavs really wanted to work on conditioning and work ethic. And I thought, wow, really? that's rough. I mean, that's not what you're looking for out of your young guy, is it?
No, but I don't know. Was the entire team in condition when they hit Indiana? I don't think they knew what was coming when they hit that. When that full court press hit them, I don't know that we're ready. And there were a lot of times where I felt like they ran out of gas in that Indiana series.
Well, Indiana was sure in shape.
Yeah, they were ready for it. They were. Now, is that an entire team thing or is that just Craig Porter Jr.?
Kind of a shame what happened to the Pacers. You know, Halliburton getting hurt and then Miles Turner taking off, going to Milwaukee. Can't blame him.
Oh, you're talking about the big picture. I thought you were just talking about the NBA Finals.
No, I'm a big picture. I mean,
I still wonder, does Indiana win that game if Halliburton's healthy for the whole game? I don't know. It's a close game.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm really bummed I didn't get to see it.
I know.
Yeah, none of us did. I feel like we got cheated.
I know.
I mean, we invested time into two cities we probably really don't care about. And I was all in. By the way, speaking of Indiana really quick, you see what the Sparks said? So apparently a two-point game yesterday, the WNBA, Indiana and L.A., right? And L.A. goes to social media last night. And they were like, teams with a beef against Indiana, Detroit, Cleveland, and L.A. I'm kind of an L.A. Sparks fan now. But back to the Cavaliers. Sorry. It was an Indiana line.
Indiana made a trade. They picked up a guy.
Fill it up, man.
I like it. We've already got rivals before they even take the floor.
Isn't that great? Indiana picked up another center. And if they can get lucky, they picked up a center, a guy named Jay Huff from the Grizzlies, who, before you say, who's Jay Huff? We beat you to it.
I know Brendan Huff. Counts for something.
No, Michael Huff used to play for the Indians.
I was a big fan.
Remember Michael Huff?
Oh, yeah, Huff Bakery. Man, they had the best chocolate chip cookies, and then they made this, like, this white coconut cake that was so good. Oh,
okay. Man. Different spelling on Huff.
Oh, does it really matter?
I think it does.
You don't have to be in a Huff about this.
You give me the nod for a rim shot after that. Even Les Levine would be like, eh, I don't know.
I don't know either. All right, so who's starting next year, Jeff? So if Garland's hurt, it's Ball, Mitchell, Mobley, Allen, Strus? Yeah.
Nope. Hunter.
Or Hunter. Over Strus.
Yeah. I think the team needs to start DeAndre Hunter next year. And I think Max Strus becomes your super sub. He can handle the ball a little bit. He can play two, and he can play small forward for you. And I'm going to turn Max Strus into like instant energy off the bench. And I'm going to make sure DeAndre Hunter starts, and I'm going to make sure he gets shots.
Nance is in the rotation, right?
Oh, without question.
Okay, but he's sitting probably 8-9, don't you think? Merrill will be ahead of him, probably. Strus will be ahead of him, so that's two.
You know why?
Why?
Name me any other big guy on this team not named Jared Allen or Evan Mobley.
Yeah, so he'd have to come in for either one of those two guys.
There you go.
I'll buy it.
Yeah.
All right, let's
He has to play. And he will play. He'll play a lot.
Kevin Love do anything for you guys?
Nope.
If let's say he gets bought out from Utah, that do anything?
I mean, the reunion tour could happen, right? If Tristan's not here, why not bring Kevin back? So we can do another awkward interview with his wife. It'll be great.
You know, like we said, you're like a daughter to the city of Cleveland.
Right? Oh!
But, you know.
Thanks, Andy.
Man, I forgot about how awkward her laugh was on the back. You're like, daughter to the.
I think it's worth playing again.
She's like, I'm from Canada, man. I'm good.
You know, like we said, you're like a daughter to the city of Cleveland right now, to Jeff and I, because we're two old guys. So, but, you know.
Thanks, Andy.
Oh, my God. Can we erase that, please?
Nope.
Oh, man.
I had to dig to find it. I was really proud when I found it. I thought we deleted it.
I should have followed that up with, you guys playing cards? All right. So you're saying if we were in Czechoslovakia, I would get the top bunk.
All right, okay, initial reaction. I immediately said no to Kevin. If Kevin were okay with signing a vet minimum,
yeah,
and my guess is he would be.
Come home, Kevin.
I'd be okay with that. You know why?
Is he better than Tristan? What did Tristan give us last year?
Kevin could give you some center minutes.
He could hit a three every once in a while,
and he can step out. You can be sure he'll be able to shoot threes when he's 50.
Yeah.
So you could do worse than put Kevin Love at the end of your rotation at this point in his career. He's 36. He didn't play much last year. His dad was sick. His dad passed away recently.
Yeah, especially the end of the year there.
Yeah.
No fun.
And he didn't play much. But see, here's what I wonder. And he was away from the Heat for personal reasons for a portion of the year, and I'm sure it was his dad. If you have Lonzo Ball, who played in only 35 games last year, and if you brought in Kevin Love, who played in only 23 games last year.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Is that a little too much of keeping your fingers crossed that you can squeeze something out of a couple of former UCLA Bruins? Because that's not the way you build a championship bench, by keeping your fingers crossed, is it?
No. At least I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Keep that in mind, though. Kevin going to Utah in a trade today. Chances are he'll be bought out. Then he'll be looking for a team. So stay tuned. We will see, won't we? Could go to the Lakers and play with LeBron. Already knows Los Angeles from going to school there.